29, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Will you please repeat this verse after me, line by line?
Když osobnost Kali porozuměl, že král ho chce zabít, okamžitě zavrhl oblečení krále a pod vlivem strachu se mu úplně odevzdal se skloněnou hlavou.
Královské oblečení osobnosti Kali je nepřirozené. Královský dres je vhodný pro krále nebo kšatry, ale když se obleče člověk nižší třídy jako král, jeho skutečná totožnost je prozrazena, je-li vyzván pravým kšatriou jako Maharáš Parikši. Skutečný kšatria se nikdy nevzdá. On přijme výzvu svého soupeřníka a bojuje, buď aby vyhrál, nebo aby umřel. Vzdát se je neznámé pro skutečného kšatriu. Ve věku Kali je tolik lidí, kteří se předstírají jako vladaři nebo hlavy státu, ale jejich skutečná totožnost je projevena, když jsou vyzváni skutečným kšatriou. Proto, když nepřirozeně oblečený osobnost Kali viděl, že Maharáš Parikšit chce bojovat, bylo to bylo jeho schopnost, sklonil hlavu a jako podřízený se vzdal svého královského oblečení.
So I'll read the next verse also. Patitam padayor bira kripaya dinavatsala sharanyo navadich chulokya aha chedam hasaniva.
Maharaj Parikshit byl velice kvalifikovaný, aby přijal odevzdání. A Maharaj Parikshit byl kvalifikovaný přijal odevzdání a byl vhodný k tomu, aby byl objevován v historii a nezabil ubohého a odevzdaného Kaliho. Soucitně se usmál, neboť byl laskavý chudý. Výklad. Dokonce i obyčejný kšatria nezabije osobu, která se mu odevzdá, nemluvě o Maharajovi Parikšitovi, který byl svou povahou soucitný a laskavý k chudým. Usmál se, protože nepřirozené oblečení Kaliho projevilo jeho totožnost jako člověka nízké třídy a myslel si, že to bylo ironické. Ačkoliv nikdo nemohl být zachráněn před jeho ostrým mečem, když někoho chtěl zabít. Takto byl nízký Kali ušetřen svým včasným odevzdáním se. Sláva Maharaje Parikšita a laskavost jsou proto objevovány v historii. On byl laskavý a soucitný císař, plný nebo vhodný, aby se mu dokonce i nepřítel odevzdal. Takto byl osobnost Kali zachráněn vůlí osudu.
Mukam kroti vachalam bhangam langayate grim yat kripataraham mande shri gurundina talinam. So these two verses very nicely show the character of the great soul Maharaj Parikshit. In the first verse, text 29, we read about the chivalrous power of this king. He was so powerful that the personality of Kali, when face to face with him, seeing that Now I will have to fight this king. He immediately surrendered.
Byl tak mocný, že když osobnost Kali byl postaven tváří v tvář skutečnost, že musí bojovat s králem, tak se mu okamžitě odevzdal.
Now, this personality of Kali is no ordinary living entity.
Osobnost Kali není obyčejná živá bytost.
He is actually descended from a line of great demons that originate with Brahma himself.
Je vlastně potomkem v linii velkých démonů, která začíná vlastně Brahmou samotným.
Kali is very powerful, very influential.
Kali je velice mocný, velice vlivný.
And this age that we live in is called the age of Kali because everything that is happening here in human society is under his influence.
Věk, ve kterém žijeme, se nazývá věk Kali, protože to se děje v lidské společnosti je pod jeho vlivem.
We are, as a human society today, is under the influence of so many so-called leaders who are very prominent in society.
Lidská společnost je pod vlivem takzvaných vůdců, kteří mají velký vliv na společnost.
Political leaders or entertainment leaders.
Mohou to být političtí vůdcové nebo vůdcové ze zábavního průmyslu.
The persons who produce newspapers, magazine, television.
Lidé, kteří produkují časopisy, noviny, televizi.
All those persons who have, from whom our mass culture is emanating.
Všechny osoby, z nich vychází masová kultura.
So this is a worldwide global culture.
Jedná se o globální světovou kulturu.
Culture of degradation.
Kulturu degradace.
A culture which encourages people to engage in sinful activities.
Kultura, která pozbuzuje lidi věnovat se hříšným činnostem.
These big persons, big leaders in the world today, who are so influential, they are all simply agents of Kali.
Všichni tyto velké osoby, které mají tak velký vliv, to jsou agenti Kali.
So we can get some idea of the potency of the personality of Kali.
Můžeme tedy dostat nějakou představu, jakou má Kali moc.
And this Kali dominates the earth for a period of 430,000 years, something like that.
Kali dominuje zemi po období 470,000 let.
That's the duration of the Kali Yuga age.
To je délka věku Kali.
So Kali is he's not just some ordinary low class fellow. But when he came face to face with the great Kshatriya, Maharaj Parikshit, then he could understand, if I have to fight with him, I will be defeated immediately. That is not simply because Maharaj Parikshit was so expert in military affairs. That was not because he had only great physical strength. But Maharaj Parikshit was pure devotee of the Lord. So he could not be influenced in any way by this personality of Kali. Kali is powerful over those whom he can influence.
Kali může zvítězit nebo je mocný nad těmi, které může ovlivnit.
Those who have dirty seeds, these seeds of sinful desire stored away in their heart, Kali can overwhelm them.
Ti, kteří mají hříšné touhy schované v srdci, tak ty může Kali přemoci.
But for those who are pure, Kali has no power. So, then in the next verse, text 30, we read of Maharaj Parikshit's great compassion. That Kali, seeing there was no chance, he immediately bowed down at the lotus feet of Maharaj Parikshit. And Maharaj Parikshit immediately, you see, this is how detached he is. He immediately gave up his angry, militant mood.
Maharaj Parikshit okamžitě zanechal, tady můžeme vidět, jak vůbec nebyl ničemu poután, svou vojenskou náladu.
And he began to smile. And he very kindly gave shelter to this personality of Kali. So this is also not possible for an ordinary person to do. For ordinary people, if they are angry at someone and they have finally captured them, have them in their power, then they will not refrain at the last minute from delivering the death blow.
Když někdo se snažil někoho chytit, nějak zmocnit, tak ti ten poslední smrtelný zásah dají, nebudou schopni prostě ten poslední smrtelný zásah dát.
Because ordinary people are conducted in their activities by the modes of nature. So, Prabhupada mentions ordinary kshatriya in the purport. Does he mention that? No, he doesn't. Oh yes, in the second, even an ordinary kshatriya. So, yes, ordinarily, people who are of martial spirit, fighting spirit, they're conducted by the mode of passion.
Obyčejně lidé, kteří jednají ve vojenském umění, tak ti jsou vedení duchem kvalitou vášně.
But if one is kshatriya, then he must follow dharma, he must follow his duty.
Ale když je někdo kshatriya, tak musí dodržovat dharmu, svou povinnost.
So kshatriya dharma is even you're 1 second away from killing a person. Hare Krishna. If he surrenders to you, then you must give up your anger.
Tak to dharma je, že když někoho chceš zabít, ale ten člověk se ti odevzdá, tak to musíš se nad ním smilovat.
So this requires great determination. Because persons who are pushed by the mode of passion, it's very difficult for them to suddenly give up some passionate activity. Nowadays, people may be very passionate, but they have no dharma at all. They have no sense of duty. So therefore, the world has become a chaos of cruelty and oppression.
chaotické místo násilí a
Now Maharaj Prikit, he's even above the ordinary Kshatriya who suppresses the motive passion by a sense of duty.
Maharaj Parikshit, ten je dokonce ještě více než obyčejný Kshatriya, který potlačuje ty špatné věci smyslem pro povinnost.
Maharaj Prikit is a pure devotee of the Lord, so he's not conducted by the motive passion.
Maharaj Parikshit je čistý oddaný pána a není ovlivněn kvalitou vášně.
So, it is very significant here that it says Maharaj Prikit began to smile.
Velmi důležité je zde, že Maharaj Parikshit se začal usmívat.
Maharaj Prikit certainly knew that Kali Yuga, or the personality of Kali, he would bring so much suffering to this world if he's allowed to live.
Maharaj Parikshit určitě věděl, že Kali je schopen přinést velice mnoho utrpení, když bude žít.
He certainly knew that this personality of Kali, if allowed to live, would plot Maharaj Prikit's destruction.
On také věděl, že když Kali zůstane naživu, že Kali bude dělat podrazy, aby zničil Maharaja Parikshita.
All of this will come to pass as you continue to read in this first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Parikshit spared Kali, then later on he arranged that Maharaj Prikit would be cursed.
Protože Maharaj Parikshit ušetřil Kaliho, tak Kali zařídil, že Maharaj Parikshit byl později proklet.
And then, as a result of the cursing of Maharaj Prikit, after 1 week, then he left this world, and then Kali had a free hand to begin the age of degradation.
A týden poté, co byl proklet, Maharaj Parikshit opustil tento svět a Kali měl svobodné ruce a začal degradovat všechno.
So, and how could Maharaj Prikit smile?
Jak se mohl Maharaj Parikshit smát?
This is because, again, Maharaj Prikit is a pure devotee of Krishna. So he knows that this is all occurring only under the plan of the Lord.
Maharaj Parikshit je čistý oddaný pána Krišny a proto věděl, že toto všechno se děje s jeho souhlasem.
A devotee who is surrendered to Krishna, then he's always depending upon Krishna's superior arrangement in everything. Just like another example Srila Prabhupada often mentioned is that of Dronacharya, who is the guru of Arjuna and many other great Kshatriyas in military art. So there had been some enmity, some bad feelings between a Dronacharya and a king named Drupada. That's a long story which I have not the time to tell now. But in any case, Drupada, because he was envious of Dronacharya, he did a great yajna to have a son who could kill Dronacharya.
protože byl závistivý vůči Dronačárovi, tak provedl oběť, která by Dronačáru provedl oběť, aby se mu narodil syn, který by dokázal Dronačáru.
So out of the fire of this sacrifice there appeared a shining personality who was dressed in armor, and his name was Dhrishtadyumna.
Z toho obětního ohně vyšla zářící osoba, která měla na sobě brnění a jmenoval se Dhrishtadyumna.
And also out of the same fire appeared Draupadi, the beautiful incarnation of the goddess of fortune.
A ze stejného ohně také vystoupila Draupadi, krásná inkarnace bohyně štěstí.
So Draupadi became the wife of the five Pandavas.
Draupadi se stala ženou pěti Pandavců.
And Dhrishtadyumna, he became the general of the Pandava army in the Kurukshetra war.
Dhrishtadyumna se stal generálem pandavské armády při bitvě o Kurukshetru.
So now King Draupada, he sent Dhrishtadyumna, who had appeared from the fire, to be the death of Dronacharya. He sent Dhrishtadyumna to Dronacharya's military school to learn all the arts of fighting from Dronacharya.
Draupada poslal Dhrishtadyumnu, který měl zabít Dronacharyu, aby poslal ho za Dronacharyou, aby se od něho naučil umění válečnickému.
And Dronacharya very happily received his new student.
Dronacharya velice radostně přivítal tohoto nového žáka.
Dronacharya was no fool. He knew that this person has appeared out of the fire to be my death, and now he has come to learn from me the means to kill me.
Dronacharya nebyl blázen, věděl, že tato osoba vyšla z ohně, aby mě zabila. A nyní přišel se naučit tu umění mě zabít.
But this is all the arrangement of divine will.
Ale toto všechno je zařízeno božskou vůli.
And in the midst of the manifestation of divine will in this world, I must do my duty.
A uprostřed božské vůle v tomto světě já musím vykonávat.
Another example from Srimad Bhagavatam is a very nice story of a great sage, Dadichi.
Další příklad ze Srimad Bhagavatamu poznává o velkém světci Dadichi.
So, long, long time ago, there was a great fear throughout the universe from a demon named Vritrasura.
Vritrasura byl velký démon, který ohrožoval, vyvolával strach po celém vesmíru.
Now this story of Vritrasura is also very nice, but we have no time to tell it. But anyway, the demigods headed by Indra, they needed some way to kill Vritrasura.
Holobozi vedení Indrou potřebovali na nějaký způsob, jak zabít Vritrasura.
So they were instructed to go to the sage Dadichi and beg his body from him.
Dostali pokyn, aby odešli za svědcem Dadichim a požádali ho o jeho tělo.
Means Dadichi would have to give up his body.
Jinými slovy, Dadichi měl opustit své tělo, nebo věnovat své tělo.
And from the bones of his body, they would make a weapon called the Vajra.
A z kostí jeho těla oni měli udělat zbraň, která se jmenuje Vajra.
Which is Indra's lightning bolt weapon.
Což je Indrova blesková zbraň,
So The demigods came before the sage Dadichi, and they proposed, "Dear sage, we have come to ask you for your material body." So it is said that hearing this, the sage Dadichi, he became modamana. Modamana means he became very jolly. And then, in a joking way, he said, "Don't you know that death is the greatest pain which all living beings fear?" How can you ask me to give up my body? And then the demigods, they explained the situation very nicely. And they appealed to sage Dadichi that you are a well-wisher of all living entities. So we know that you are prepared to give up even your body for the welfare of all living beings. So this is what we're asking you. So sage Dadichi, he answered, "Yo dhruvanatmana nata, na dharma na yasha puman," which means that if one is attached to this temporary material body, and in that attached state, he cannot, because he's so selfish, he cannot act for the welfare of other living beings. Then, na dharma, na yasha. Then that person, he can never follow the path of dharma, the path of righteous behavior. And na yasha. Yasha means fame. He will never become famous in the world. So, it is said about Maharaj Parikshit here. What is that? Shlokya. Yes, shlokya. This word shlokya means his fame is worthy of being sung throughout the whole world. Because he was prepared to give up his life for the welfare of all living beings also. So, similarly, sage Dadichi very happily gave up his body. He said, "Yo dhruvanatmana." Adhruvanatmana means the atma means self, but the self which is adhruva, the self which is not eternal, means this body. So what he's saying by that is that why be attached to this body? Because in any case, you can't keep it. And he also stated at this time that for one who remains so attached to this body, he is and cannot engage in welfare work for others, then he is pitied even by the stavarai. Stavarai means even by the non-moving living beings like trees. They feel sorry for such a human being.
Člověk, osoba, která není schopná odevzdat své tělo pro blaho ostatních, tak dokonce i živé bytosti, které se nehybou, jako například stromy nebo tak, tak i ty mají, litují takovou osobu.
Now, why would he say this? Why would he mention the trees? Because a tree is always engaged in selfless service to other living beings. A tree gives his shade to anyone who stands underneath it. You can pick the fruits and flowers from a tree. He won't protest. You'll never hear some little voice, you know, as you're picking the fruits. What are you doing? Go away. Even you want to cut the tree for wood, for firewood or some other purpose. So you're cutting off his arms. He won't protest. So the trees, who are always engaged in service, they will pity the human being who is so selfish and foolish that he clings to this body thinking that it is eternal, thinking that it is not meant for the welfare of others. Tree knows this very well. This body is meant for others' service. So actually, to give up this body for welfare of others, this is a very fundamental principle of Vaishnavism. This is why in Vaishnava Dharma we take sannyas. In the Mayavadi Sampradaya, sannyas is taken to get free of material entanglement. And these Mayavadi sannyasis, after they take sannyas, they go around greeting each other, Namo Narayan, Namo Narayan. Oh, you are God, you are God. This is their program for becoming God. You give up your wife and home. Now, oh, now you're God. So Vaishnava never takes, except sannyas, for such reasons. Why a Vaishnava will take sannyas is explained in the Sad Goswami Ashtakam, the prayers to the six Goswamis. So it says, Chaktva Turnam Ashesha Mandala Pati Shrenim Sadatuchavat. The six Goswamis, they were great lords in this world. They were Mandala Pati. Mandala Pati means they had ownership of great tracts of land. But they gave it all up. Chaktva. Chaktva means renounce. So they gave it all up. Tuchavat, as if it was untouchable. Now why? Why did they do that?
Proč to udělali?
Was it because it gave them all this property, gave them distress, or the tax collector was coming, or they had to flee the country? No, it says Bhutva Dina Ganesha Kau Karunaya Kanta Kopina Kantashritau. Simply out of compassion, Bhutva Dina means the fallen soul. Simply out of compassion for the fallen souls, they accepted the dress of mendicants.
Pokleslým duším přijali oblečení žebravých poutníků.
So, one who takes sannyas is actually considered to be dead in Vedic culture.
V vedické kultuře je ten, kdo přijme sannyas, považován za mrtvého.
He is, Vedic culture was so strict that as soon as a man, no matter who he was, what his obligations, wife, children, anything. But if somehow or other, one day he would accept the shaven head and the saffron robes, then immediately everyone would say, all right, he's gone. The bill collectors would give, they would just say, okay, forget about it. The wife would say, forget about it. Everyone would say, forget about it. He's gone now.
Řádcem jasnina, oranž, šafránu, vyšatý, ohněnou hlavu, tak všichni by řekli, tak už na něho zapomeňme, už je pryč. Daňový úředník by řekl, už je s tím konec, žena by řekla, už to je konec.
So to take sannyas is just like giving up the body, as sage Dadichi did.
Přijmout sannyas je podobné nebo je stejné jako
And actually, everyone who is devotee, who has become devotee of Krishna, Sri Krishna has said in Bhagavad Gita that they are all sannyasis.
Všichni, kdo se stanou oddaným Krishny, Krishna říká v Bhagavad Gita, jsou sannyasini.
Krishna has used a special term, nitya sannyasi, means eternally sannyasi.
Krishna zde používá zvláštního termínu nitya sannyasi, věčný sannyasi.
Because they have given up their material attachments for Krishna.
Protože oni vzdali nebo zanechali své hmotná pouta.
That is eternal. Our relationship with Krishna is eternal, never ending. Whereas one may take sannyas or one may renounce for some other purpose, that will not be eternal. For instance, as I mentioned before, if someone's life becomes too troublesome, too many bills to pay, too many people coming after him, giving him trouble.
Jako když se před chvilkou zmínil, že když život se stane problematický, že má příliš mnoho faktorů zaplatit, že ho zhání příliš mnoho lidí.
His wife is always angry with him. His children are always dissatisfied with him.
Jeho žena se na něho neustále zlobí. Děti jsou s ním neustále nespokojeny.
So he finds no happiness anywhere.
Nikde není schopen najít radost.
So then he renounces.
Tak se všeho zřekne.
So this is called broken, it's called in Bengali, broken cot renunciation. Cot means this kind of bed. It's actually a Bengali word. It's come into English too. A kind of simple bed that they sleep on in India. A wooden frame with a rope and short legs.
Tak této takovému odříkání se říká zlomené odříkání zlomeného nehátka.
So there was a man who was presented when he got married. He was presented by the bride's father a very cheaply made cot as a marriage gift.
Když se jeden muž oženil, tak nevěstin otec mu daroval levné lehátko, levnou postel.
So after just a few days, when he laid down on the cot, you know, it broke. So then he didn't want to be embarrassed in front of his friends and relatives that he was given such a cheap cut. So what he did was he suddenly started to preach to everyone. You know, it is simply sense gratification to sleep on a bed. Actually, we should always sleep on the floor, on the bare floor. So he took to sleeping on the floor and he was always preaching to everyone, why are you sleeping on this bed? You're in Maya. But the only reason he was acting in this way is that his own bed had broken. So later on, someone gave him a nice bed. And he stopped all his preaching and slept in that bed very happily. So this type of sannyas, it is anitya, it is not eternal, it is temporary. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Geya sanitya sanyasi na dveshti na kankshati. That person is known as a nitya sanyasi who is neither frustrated with existence nor does he hanker to enjoy this material existence. Nirdvanvo hi mahabaho, such a person, my devotee, he's free of all duality. And sukham bandha pramuchyate, he's very happy. Sukha means he's very blissful, smiling like Maharaj Parikshit, smiling like sage Dadichi.
Taková osoba je velice blažená. Sukam znamená usmívá se, jako Maharaj Parikshit nebo světec Dadichi.
Sukam bandha pramochyate. He's very happy, very satisfied, and he's free from all entanglement in this world.
On je velice šťastný, velice spokojený a je prost jakéhokoliv zamotání se v tomto světě.
Because he does not live for personal interest. He lives for the service of Krishna. And service of Krishna means automatically service to all living entities. That is explained by Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita, where the famous verse where Sri Krishna says, you must accept the spiritual master.
Tad
vidi. if you want this knowledge of Krishna consciousness, then pranipatena, you must offer your respects, pariprashnena, you must put questions, sevya, and render service, upadekshanti te jnanam, jnaninas tattvadarshinaha. You must approach in this way one who knows the truth, and he will reveal the truth to you. And then Krishna says in the next verse, and thus once you have come out of ignorance and you are established in the absolute truth, then you will know that all living entities are in me and are mine. So, to render service to all living entities means that one has to offer that service from the transcendental platform. Krishna says, you have to be situated in knowledge to see that all living entities are in me and are mine. There are many, many ignorant people in the world who have no spiritual knowledge, and yet out of sentiment, they try to become welfare workers of others. But this welfare work is not welfare work at all. It's just selfish activity. Why is it selfish? Because these persons, they refuse to give up the bodily conception. They think that life is meant for enjoying sense gratification. So they will see some section of humanity which is impoverished, which cannot enjoy sense gratification nicely, and they will feel sorry for them. So then they will make big propaganda. Here are some hungry people. So everybody should contribute money to help these poor people. And sometimes they are putting on, in the modern time, big rock concert for this purpose. And Michael Jackson and so many others are coming and singing, "We Are the World." You see? Now, just consider this. We are the world, you see. This is self-centered idea. Krishna says, "Aham Savasya Prabhavo." He says, the world comes from me. But Michael Jackson says, no, we are the world. So, then they collect so much money, and then what do they have to do to feed these poor, starving people? They have to collect foodstuffs. And that involves, of course, the slaughter of so many other living entities. Mm. Mm-hmm. So to help this class of living entity, they're killing so many others. And this shows they have no spiritual vision at all. Because they're thinking, well, we'll help them, these living entities, because they have two legs, two arms, like us. They're human beings. And to help them, we can kill the cow, because cow has four legs. It's not like us. So this is what I mean, self-centered. They're in illusion. Now, someone may say, well, yes, all right, that makes sense what you're saying. But then, how can you help anyone? You see, because you, even you Hare Krishnas, you're going out on the street, you're distributing prasadam. So this also means that you're killing living entities. Okay, you don't kill the cow, that we understand. But even when you're cooking up your puris, by heating up that ghee, there are so many invisible living entities, they're perishing in that ghee. And then you go out on the street and you say, this is vegetarian food, karma-free, non-violent. But that boiling ghee which you made those puris in, it's an ocean of death for so many tiny microbes and bacteria. So, you claim to be doing welfare work, but you're doing the same. You're killing these living entities to help those. Now this is where the point of transcendental knowledge comes in. This makes all the difference. Because Krishna says, when one is situated in transcendental knowledge, then he knows that all living entities are in me and are mine. Whether they're moving living entities, non-moving, microscopic, or whatever they may be, they're all Krishna's parts and parcels. They're all eternal spiritual beings. And the real welfare work is that they become liberated from the bodily conception. That is the welfare activity of the devotees of Krishna. So when a devotee cooks puris for Sankirtan distribution, who is he cooking those puris for? When he's putting the puri in the ghee, is he thinking about those poor people on the street? Or who is he thinking about? About God. Which God? About Krishna. Alright, so the puris, everything, all the service of the devotees is aimed at Krishna's lotus feet.
Krišnu, když dělá tu puri, všechno, co Dani dělá, je nasměrováno na Krišnovy lotosové nohy.
Mm-hmm. And when Krishna sees his devotee, he's engaged in his devotional service.
Když Krishna vidí, že oddaný je zaměstnán v jeho oddané službě,
and the devotee wants to spread Krishna's mercy, the mercy of this devotional service, throughout the whole world to benefit all other living entities. Then Krishna becomes very pleased. And because Krishna is the all-powerful Lord, he satisfies the desire, the compassionate desire of his devotee in so many wonderful ways. This world is so made that you cannot avoid to kill other living beings. Even if you just walk across the floor, that's mass slaughter. Even you just breathe, you see? When you breathe in the air, so many invisible living entities are going up into your body and being killed. But a devotee desires the spiritual welfare of all living beings. So he's always praying to Krishna, please Krishna, deliver all these living entities from illusion. And a devotee will not do anything. He will not even raise his little finger unless it's for Krishna. Therefore, he keeps Krishna at the center of everything. And so, Krishna reciprocates by fulfilling the desire of the devotee. So Krishna says, when my devotee desires to serve me, then all of his service and everything connected with the service is accepted by me, merges into transcendence. Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir, Brahmagnau Brahmanahutam Brahmaivatena Gantavya Brahma Karma Samadina. It's a verse from Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, Brahma Arpanam, Arpanam means contribution. So the contribution, however we contribute to Krishna's service, and then he says, Brahma Havi. Havi means ghee, the butter. Because he's referring to fire sacrifice. But he could also be referring to cooking puris too. So the arpana, our sense of our contribution to Krishna's mission, and the ghee we use when we're cooking puris, Brahmagnau, the fire which is heating the ghee, Brahmanahutam, the offering that we make on the altar, all of these things, they merge into Brahman, they merge into the spiritual existence.
Všechno, co děláme, ta činnost, pak se tam mluvilo o ghee, Krishna měl na mysli ghee při oběti, ale můžeme to brát i ghee, který se smaží puri, potom ten obětní obřad, všechno, když je použito v Krishnově službě, pak to splyne s Brahman, neboli s duchovní existencí.
Krishna, he takes it all back home, back to Godhead. This is what he's saying in that verse.
Krishna to vezme všechno zpátky domů, zpátky k Bohu. To je význam tohoto verše.
The ghee, and all the living entities in the ghee too.
Všechny živé bytosti a
Huh? He accepts the ghee. The ghee is accepted, and all the living entities in the ghee too. They're all liberated. So this is the meaning. You see, devotee is a liberated soul because all of his activities are only for Krishna. So anyone who comes in contact with the activities of a devotee in any way, they also are liberated by Krishna's grace. So, coming back to Maharaj Parikshit, someone may say, well, he's letting the personality of Godhead go free. Letting the personality of Kali go free. And now Kali is going to create so much hell in this world. Of course, that's after Kali curses Maharaj Parikshit. You'll see immediately Maharaj Parikshit, he forbids Kali from doing anything. He lets him go free, but he says, you cannot promote your sinful activities in my kingdom. But later on, Kali manages, because he was set free, he manages to have Parikshit Maharaj cursed and removed from the earth. And so that's the beginning of this dark age of sin. And now everyone is suffering so much from this age of quarrel. So someone may say, then how was it successful? How was it proper that Maharaj Parikshit let the demon Kali free? So, who could give an answer? Who can think? What is the great good fortune of people in this age of Kali Yuga? Yes? Yes. That's the statement of Bhagavatam. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan. Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, but asti hi eka mahagunan. There is one good thing. Kirtanya deva krishnasya. And that is the Krishna kirtan. And in this dark age of Kali Yuga, who descends? Who comes from the spiritual world? To deliver all living entities and to endow them with love of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Parama Karuna. Pahu Dvijan Nitai Gaura Chandra. So, these two, Lochan Das Thakur says, these two brothers here, Nitai Gaura Chandra, you will not find anyone who is more merciful than they. Parama Karuna, supreme mercy. So Parikshit Maharaj wanted to bestow upon the world The greatest mercy. So when Kali surrendered to him, Maharaj Parikshit let him go. When Kali arranged for that curse, Maharaj Parikshit accepted the curse. He could have resisted it, but he accepted it so that he could hear Srimad Bhagavatam. What are we doing 5,000 years later, here, right now? You see, we are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. This is because of the action of Maharaj Parikshit. It is said that Lord Krishna, he left this one source of light in this dark age of Kali Yuga, the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is all due to the self-sacrifice of Maharaj Parikshit, the great Vaishnava. So, although it may be very difficult for us to understand the activities of a Vaishnava, that statement is there in the Shastras, still we should know it, that because a Vaishnava acts only for Krishna, therefore we should know that the results of a devotee's action are always all auspicious. Well, it may be very difficult for us to understand the activities of a Vaishnava, but we should know, because he only acts for Krishna, the results of his activities are only all auspicious. So I will stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Jai. Would there be any question? Yes, this Mataji. Yes, but Krishna gives by his mercy specific service. A devotee considers himself unworthy, like a dog. Srila Prabhupada used to say, we are God's dogs. So a dog sits by the door, and whatever mercy he gets from the master, he's satisfied with. So similarly, the Vaishnava, he's awaiting, he's praying for any mercy, any sign of mercy from Krishna. Now Krishna, he has one name, Bhakta Vatsala. His devotees are very, very dear to him. In fact, they're so dear to him that Krishna likes to make his devotees more important than he is.
Right?
It's like someone asked Srila Prabhupada, if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then why didn't he spread the Krishna consciousness movement all around the world, to Europe, to America? Prabhupada said, because he wanted me to do it. So, the mission is awarded a sincere devotee by the Lord Himself. It's not that the devotee has a desire to do some big service and become famous. Another time, Srila Prabhupada, in a conversation, indicated that although the Krishna consciousness movement had spread around the world, he was still far from satisfied in his service to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, there are so many people, even though we are, have expanded our movement everywhere, still so many millions and millions of people who are not chanting Hare Krishna. So our work has hardly begun. So a devotee for himself, he never thinks, I have done something wonderful. But Krishna thinks that way. Krishna thinks he has done something wonderful. So Krishna likes to glorify his devotees in this way. Anything else? Yes, Prabhupada. At the present time, there are no Kshatriyas. If you read the Vedic, the qualification of a real Kshatriya in the Vedic scriptures, you find out very quickly that a Kshatriya is not simply a man with big muscles who knows karate. He, you know, he's not Arnold Schwarzenegger. No, that's not a Kshatriya. You don't know who Arnold Schwarzenegger is. Schwarzenegger. That's a Shudra, or less than a Shudra. So, in this age, the Shudras or less than Shudras, they, their duty, their only duty is to become Krishna conscious. And the method is very straightforward. We chant Hare Krishna, we take Krishna prasadam, we dance in ecstasy. And we become liberated from all bodily designations. That is the prayer, that is the... there's a verse spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, in which he says, I'm not a brahmana, I'm not a member of Varnashram Dharma, I'm not a sannyasi, I'm not a this, I'm not a that.
Je modlitba, že tady má pravdu, a kdy říká, já nejsem brahmana, já nejsem šudra, já nejsem členem nějaké třídy, já nejsem to, já nejsem ono.
What am I? I'm a servant of millions and millions and millions of servants of the lotus feet of Sri Sri, of the gopis, actually. He said, the gopi, bratur padakamalaya dasa dasa anudasa. I'm the millions, I'm the servant of millions and millions and millions and millions of other servants who are serving the lotus feet of the gopis of Vrindavan. So this is what we should do. We should simply become servants of the Vaishnavas. And then automatically everything else, all good qualities will appear in the body of such a person. Yes? It's described in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The first of this lineage is Adharma or irreligion, personified as a demon. Adharma had a sister. I forgot her name. She was some other inauspicious quality. So Adharma and his sister, they accepted each other as husband and wife, and they had also a boy. They had a boy and girl, children. And then these two, the children of Adharma, they accepted each other as husband and wife, and they also had boy and girl children. So each one of these male-female persons are personifying some very, very inauspicious quality. And finally it comes down to Kali. And his sister is named Harsh Speech. Kali means quarrel. So this is the husband and wife here. Quarrel and harsh speech. And they also have children. So you can read the full details in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam.
Should we wait until we come to deliver and we serve the glass?
Go now if you can. Because if you go there as a devotee, then you will derive infinite benefit. You see, by spending just 3 days, rendering service in Vrindavan for just 3 days, it's like rendering service for 3 years or 30 years in another place. And you see, by the grace of the Holy Dham, one will gradually develop the eyes to see the Holy Dham as it is. But even if you cannot go, still in your heart you should want to go. And if in this way you're always remembering Sri Vrindavan Dham with the desire to go there, then actually you will always be there. Because Vrindavan is not really a place on the map, you know. We are not actually separated from Vrindavan by some number of kilometers. Vrindavan is the place where the pure devotees live, whose hearts are pure and filled with love of Krishna. It is a state of consciousness, actually. It's not a political state. We, in this material world, we live in political states like Czechoslovakia or Germany or Poland or India. But Vrindavan is a state of pure consciousness. Oh, you mean the living in these like trees and birds and... Well, actually, that depends on you, the devotees here. If the devotees in Krishna's dvur become like the pure devotees of Vrindavan Dham, then there will be no difference. Because by the influence of such pure devotees, then this whole area will become transformed. If you have the eyes to see that it is a Kalpavriksha tree, yes. This whole material world, this whole universe, is just a tiny perverted reflection of the glories of eternal Goloka. So this chestnut tree is a reflection of cult of Rikshetri. Now, a reflection or a shadow that cannot exist separately from the original object. So if you develop the eyes to see the original object, the original Kalpa Vriksha tree, and you can see that this is the shadow, then, you see, that is pure Krishna consciousness. Then you see there will be connection between this chestnut tree and the Kalpa Vriksha tree. No, this was done by wealthy persons who became the disciples of the six Goswamis. The six Goswamis gave direction. All right, I'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.